Well, hi, and welcome to Radical Dating, Five Principles for Finding Love That Will Rock Your World. I am David Steele. I am founder of Relationship Coaching Institute, and we are the first and largest relationship coach training organization, founded in 1997. Very proud of that. And I'm also the author of Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life and the Life That You Love. And it is really a very seminal book in dating and being single and how you can live the life you love with the love of your life. And today I'm going to talk about some of the principles of conscious dating as they relate to radical dating, because Darlene and I, my wife Darlene and I, we co-authored a brand new book, Radical Marriage, Your Life, Your Relationship as Your Greatest Adventure. I'm not getting anything right tonight, so be patient with me, please. So we just finished this book, Radical Marriage, Your Relationship as Your Greatest Adventure. And the model of radical marriage is one that is absolutely committed and one in which you live life as an adventure far beyond happily ever after. Most of us really, you know, what we have in mind, our dream is to live happily ever after with the love of our life. Well, what happens when you get there? You know, does life stop? No, it keeps on going. So you can actually go much farther and much higher than happily ever after. Or I like to call that beyond happily ever after. So that's what the Radical Marriage book is about. So today's program, Radical Dating, focuses on how you can date in a way that you can find the love of your life, your soulmate, that then you can have a radical marriage with. Isn't that cool? So before we get started, I want to share with you some endorsements. Actually, there are two endorsements from the same couple, Harbo Hendricks and his wife, Helen LaKelly Hunt. And I want to share this with you because, for several reasons. And really, it's not to brag. It's that, you know, Harbo Hendricks is one of my heroes. He is, you know, a pioneer in the field of relationships. And when I wrote the book Conscious Dating and I sent it to him, he loved it and he sent me a really, really nice review for it. And it's right here. And then when I, when we finished the book Radical Marriage, I sent that to him. And he loved that as well. And he was actually the very first endorsement for Radical Marriage. So there's a picture of them and their endorsement for both Conscious Dating and Radical Marriage. So life is coming full circle for me. I write a book when for singles when I'm single, and I write a book about marriage now that I've been married to the love of my life, and Harbo Hendricks loves them both along with Helen. So that's kind of cool. So let's talk about dating for a minute. Dating in today's world has changed tremendously. The marriage rate has gone down quite significantly, and now 51% of U.S. adults are married. That is the lowest rate ever. 44% of adults under 30, anyway, believe that marriage is obsolete. And the overall statistic is 41% of all adults in the U.S. believe marriage is obsolete. Now that's survey data. That's not like guaranteed that half of the people that you talk to will believe marriage is obsolete. But that is just, you know, amazing. And, you know, the divorce rate has been quite high for quite a while, and fewer people are getting married, and they're waiting longer to get married. And marriage is perceived as this ball and chain kind of cage that you have to sacrifice your freedom in order to, you know, be married and have companionship and security. And it's going to end up in divorce anyway. Or, you know, if you have security and you're somewhat happy, you're going to have to give up a lot of what you want in life. And I absolutely don't believe that. I love marriage. And my model of marriage, the kind of life I want to have as a married person, is one of absolute fulfillment. And so this really disturbs me that most people believe marriage is obsolete. And I really do see a need for the next evolution of marriage. And so I propose radical marriage as the next evolution of marriage. That's what marriage is headed towards. That is the future of marriage, that you have a committed couple who are living their life together as a greatest adventure. It is the platform for both of their fulfillment. You can only get so far on your own, to get the rest of the way, to live the life you really want, you need a committed partner. So this really, really disturbs me that so many people are giving up on marriage. And, you know, with the old model of marriage, who can blame them? So the cohabitation rate over the past 30 years has increased over 1,200%. So it seems like with this trend that what most people do when they're single is they date and they find somebody, and the very next step is they move in together. And, you know, that might be okay. You know, I've done it several times. But the problem with that is that the failure rate of cohabitation is over 80%, closer to 85%. And when you live together before marriage, it actually increases the risk of a failed marriage. And, why is that? What's the problem? I mean, it seems like a good idea. Let's go ahead and test this thing out before we make a commitment. But what happens is couples are getting together and they do not have a committed mindset. I mean, this is my own take on it. This is my my interpretation of the situation is they are testing things out. They're seeing how things go. They don't really have a whole lot of relationship skills. And so when problems happen, they don't really know how to work it out. And so when the problems get worse, it's either, you know, if it can't be fixed, then you leave. And so that's my guess as to why cohabitation, the failure rate of cohabitation is so high and why it results in failed marriages is because the attitude is, well, if it doesn't work, I can always leave. And what I've learned and what the research shows is that commitment is the glue that makes marriages work. So if you're not committed to something, anything, it's not going to happen. If you're not committed to finishing school, you're not going to get a degree. If you're not committed to showing up to work every day, you're going to lose your job. And, you know, on and on. I can give you numerous examples of that. So commitment is really necessary for success, including in relationships. So one thing that I've learned that I've come to is what I call the truth. And there are very few absolutes that I believe in or that I will state, you know, flatly with absolute positivity, but this is one of them. Relationship success starts when you're single. The choices you make when you're single determine your success when you are in a relationship. And so that is the whole idea behind conscious dating. It's like, well, what can you do when you're single to set yourself up for success, find the love of your life, and live happily ever after? What can you do when you're single? You are absolutely not helpless. When you are single is the opportunity, is the time to set yourself up for success. So the whole, you know, conscious dating book is about what you can do during that time and then how you can date in a way that finds the love of your life. So it's just really, really important to acknowledge this truth that the future of our relationship success starts when we are single. So here's the problem as I see it. The problem is that for a lot of people, if not most people that I talk to, finding your soulmate, finding the love of your life, that one person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, feels like locating a needle in a haystack. So look at the picture in front of you. It's, you know, a barn with the doors open, and there are stacks and stacks and stacks of hay in there. Can you imagine a needle in there someplace? And how in the world are you going to find it? And that's what it feels like to most singles that I've talked to. And so if they are this despairing, that finding, you know, my soulmate is this hard and this impossible, then the tendency is to either give up or settle. And both don't work. Both tend to be self-fulfilling. If you give up, of course you're not going to find the love of your life. If you settle, of course you're not going to find the love of your life. So the solution, as I see it, is radical dating. And we are going to talk about exactly what that is today. Radical dating is like using an electromagnet to find that needle in the haystack. Imagine you had a huge truck-mounted electromagnet and you drive it into that barn of hay, you're going to find that needle somehow, some way, within a few hours. It's not going to take you forever. So what does that electromagnet look like, and how can we develop our own electromagnet? That's the rest of the program. What I've discovered is, it can happen very, very quickly when you're clear about what you want and how to get it. And in my own story, I put it up on my website, and here's a short URL for it. It's www.darleneanddavid.com. My own story is that I found Darlene within 5 months. From being single to finding my soulmate took 5 months. And I tell the story at darleneanddavid.com. And Darlene is here. She's going to tell you a little bit of too. But it's absolutely amazing what clarity will get you. It's like a lot of singles, how to date effectively and how to find, you know, true love or whether this person is a good fit for you. It seems very opaque. It seems very cloudy, like, not quite sure. Let me see. I'll try it out. Let's see how it goes. And with conscious dating, what I've discovered is that you can be so clear, you can spot it a mile away. You can spot it right away. It is not opaque. It is absolutely clear. That kind of clarity gives you a lot of power. And if you are not clear, then there's a lot of things you can do to get clear. And that's what the Conscious Dating book is about. And we'll talk about a few of those. So, I have for you today 5 principles of radical dating. And then I will go into some of the most effective strategies for implementing these principles. Very exciting. Principle number 1, you deserve to love and be loved. And I would guess that most people attending this webinar tonight believe that to be absolutely true. Yes, I deserve to love and be loved. The problem is we don't really believe it deep down, and our relationship choices don't reflect that. And I lived this journey for 50 years of my life of knowing intellectually that I wanted to love and be loved for who I was, but deep down not really feeling like I deserved it. So the relationship choices that I made were women that couldn't really give me what I needed. And I worked very, very hard to earn their love, like I, you know, was trying to earn my mother's love when I was a kid. And so this is just too common that we don't really believe that we deserve to love and be loved. So radical dating, in my mind, starts with fiercely believing and standing up for yourself that you absolutely deserve to love and be loved. And this sabotages us when we don't believe it and we don't act on it. Whether or not you believe it, you can still act on it. You can still take care of yourself. And what happens is we end up either pleasing or settling or giving up. And I played the pleaser role, so that's the one, the trap that I fell into the most. And settling means that you don't believe you can get what you really want or that you deserve what you really want, so you settle for what you'll allow yourself to have. You know, what's comfortable for you, because, you know, true happiness is not comfortable for you. You know, or you just give up. I've talked to a lot of singles that have just given up. It's not going to happen for me. It is absolutely self-fulfilling. This is the really, really sad part. And you know how easy it is to spot it when other people do it? And, of course, it's a bit harder to spot when we do it. So, this is the time to look in the mirror. If you're not dating right now, if you are not actively seeking the love of your life and you want to find that person, then you have pretty much given up. You could tell yourself, well, you know, I'm taking a break. Or, you know, the ones who I want are don't want me. Or I'm too old or I'm too overweight. Or, you know, it's too late. You know, we tell ourselves lots of these things. It's absolutely self-fulfilling, and it means that you've given up. And if you are here, it means you don't want to give up. So please don't give up. You must learn how to love yourself. And that's a journey that, you know, maybe you can do it by yourself. Probably not. It certainly takes a lot of time. But you can certainly shorten that time when you know what to do and you have support to do it. So please don't do this alone. If this is an issue that you struggle with, get the support that you need. Principle number 2, be ready and available for commitment. Now, if you are not ready for something, you will not succeed at it. It's just what happens when lottery winners win the lottery, or when you might get a job promotion that you aren't prepared for, or you're not qualified for. You will fail. So you must be ready and available for commitment if you want to find the love of your life. If anything is interfering with that, you know, ask yourself, what might interfere with my ability to be committed? What might interfere with my being ready for a committed relationship? And anything that might interfere, if you still have an unresolved custody battle going on with your ex, if you are going through bankruptcy or recovering from, whatever it might be, whatever could interfere with the success of a committed relationship, you know, you probably need to take care of that first, because you absolutely must be ready and available. When you are ready and available, it can happen as fast as you want it to, and when you finally meet that person, you're ready to go. The tragedy is when you meet somebody and it's the wrong time. You're not ready, and it's like ships passing in the night. And it's a tragedy when you find the love of your life, and it's just not meant to be. It's the wrong time. If you're not ready, the relationship is doomed before it starts, and if you try to make the relationship work, it's not going to work. So part of being ready and available for commitment is that you will stay single, you'll stay available, and you will seek out the love of your life rather than what I call recreational dating. Recreational dating is dating for fun. It's nothing serious, and the criterion for hanging out with somebody is to have fun. And that is absolutely okay when you are single and you want to be casual about it. But if you're on the journey to find the love of your life and you want to date radically, radical dating is about finding your partner for radical marriage. And you need to be fierce about it. You need to be serious about it. You need to have your eye on the ball. You can't be fooling around with people that aren't aligned with what it is you really want. And there's nothing wrong with recreational dating at all, unless your goal is to find the love of your life and to settle down and live happily ever after. Then committed dating is what I call the journey of finding a committed relationship. And your primary goal is you're going to say no to what doesn't work for you long term to find that person that is a good fit for you. And they are ready too. And we'll talk a bit more about how to do that. So there is a such thing as a law of attraction, whether you believe in it or not. It's going to work for you or against you. And the role of the law of attraction when it comes to dating is that if you are ready and available for commitment and you stay single and you really seek that person, the law of attraction helps you. It really, really does. And just think about this. The person that you want to meet, the person that's right for you, they are seeking you. So you're not alone in this search. They are seeking you out. So the law of attraction wants you to find each other. However, if anything's interfering with your availability or you're being ready, then the law of attraction will hold them off because you're not ready. And what a lot of singles do, I've noticed, is that we don't want to be alone. We don't want to be lonely. So we hook up. We hang out with somebody who's not necessarily long-term. This is like, good enough for now. This is my buddy for now. But that is not being available. If you're involved with somebody, you are not available. Even if you think they're not long-term and you're really looking for the love of your life, you are not available. The law of attraction is going to keep them away from you, and that's really sad. Principle number three of radical dating is to honor your deepest needs and requirements. And if you're familiar with conscious dating, you're absolutely familiar with this, which is you do have non-negotiable requirements, things that you require in order for a relationship to work for you. If one is missing, the relationship won't work. It is absolutely doomed. And these are really critically important things, like if you want to have a family, hopefully you choose somebody that also wants a family. If you value fidelity and monogamy, you are with somebody else who values fidelity and monogamy. If they cheat on you, then that violates your requirement. That's one of the, you know, easiest explanations of requirements. Like for most people, if your partner cheats on them, it's like, you know, I can't have that. This relationship is not working. It's over. Well, you know, you can recover from affairs and cheating, but it's a great illustration that we absolutely have requirements, and they must be met for the relationship to work for us. And you need to know what they are. And you need to find somebody that is aligned with all of them, not just some of them, not most of them. If one is missing, the relationship won't work for you. It's really, really important. So if you're not clear about what your requirements are or the whole thing isn't making much sense to you, please do get the book Conscious Dating, because we cover it very, very well there. And then there's your needs, your physical needs, your functional needs, and your emotional needs. Physical needs are easy. You know, you need, you know, air and food and shelter and all that kind of stuff. Functional needs are what you need for your life to just work, for you to be okay, just to be able to function. You know, you like to pay your bills and have the electricity work in your house, you know, things like that. Emotional needs are what you need to feel loved. And since we get into a relationship and we want to love and be loved, this is a romantic relationship. This is not a work relationship. This is not a business partnership. This is about wanting to love and be loved. So emotional needs are tremendously important, and you need to know what they are. You need to have the ability to get them met in a relationship, and you need to choose a relationship in which your emotional needs can be met. And remember, you know, we talked about choosing relationships of people because when you're a pleaser and you don't really believe that you deserve to be loved, and that's one thing to watch out for. Now, in terms of honoring your deepest needs and requirements, boundaries and assertiveness. Boundaries are the line between what's okay and what's not okay for you in a relationship. And assertiveness is how you protect your boundaries and how you get your needs met, because you need to say something. It is not a bad thing. It is not a negative thing at all. Sometimes people believe that if they have to be assertive, then they're being mean, or they shouldn't have to be assertive. However, it is a critical relationship skill. It is impossible for somebody, anybody, including the love of your life, to read your mind all the time. And you must speak up for yourself. You must make a request. You must simply tell your truth about what you need and what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So it isn't just about a partner delivering all your deepest needs and requirements on a silver platter. It is also very much about your ability to protect your boundaries and to request what it is you want and to make sure that your needs are met in a relationship. Critically, critically, critically important. And then there's your wants. Your wants are the icing on the cake. They are what makes life pleasant and enjoyable. And the reason I have it here is simply to mention two things. First, you can be in a relationship and be ecstatically happy and have none of your wants met. Why? Because wants are changeable. What you want today is not necessarily going to be what you want tomorrow. And the other reason is that what many singles do is they mistake wants for needs or requirements. They focus on the fun stuff. They focus on the icing instead of the cake. And they make relationship choices based on fun or based on wants rather than requirements and needs. So in my mind, it's really important in terms of being conscious and conscious dating to be clear about not only your requirements, but your needs and your wants, and to know the difference between them, and make sure that you are choosing a relationship that's aligned with all your requirements, in which the partner that you're choosing is able to meet your needs and work with you to get your needs met. In other words, when you make a request, they're receptive to it, they're willing to work with you on it. It's not that they can read your mind all the time and deliver it to you, you know, without you doing anything, but you can be a team and you can meet each other's needs effectively. And then the wants are optional. Wants are nice when they happen, and chances are if you make a good relationship choice, you will have, you know, all your wants met and more, but you can't focus on that. You can't choose a relationship based on wants. Now, the thing is, the choices that you make become habitual. We have patterns of choice making. Nothing is random. Nothing ever occurs just once. We have habits. We have patterns. So honoring your deepest needs and requirements needs to be a habit that you establish. It needs to be a pattern that you follow 100%. There can't be any exceptions. Remember, nothing ever occurs randomly just once. So make it a habit, make it a pattern to be aware of what your needs and requirements are and to honor them all the time. That is principle number three. Principle number four is be true to yourself. And this might be clear and obvious, but, you know, we don't do it. And whether or not we think we deserve it, or we want to avoid conflict, or, you know, we have many, many reasons why we're not true to ourselves. But if you're ever wondering, how can you find the love of your life? How can you live happily ever after? How can you really be in love and experience a radical marriage? I'll tell you, this is probably the most important, is to be absolutely true to yourself. What does that mean? That means that you are living your values 100%. You're not giving them up for anybody or anything. Not because people disagree with it, not because they think it's stupid, not because they judge it. If that's you and that's authentically you and that's your values, you live it 100%. You do not need anybody's approval. You are not going to modify your values for anybody, especially when you're dating. And we already talked about loving yourself. That's part of being true to yourself. I love this one. This was, you know, this was probably one of my biggest life lessons, is to require 100% acceptance. That if you want to hang out with me, especially if you want to be close to me, you need to accept who I am 100%, including my faults, including my quirks, including the things that I'm not proud of, you know, 100%. Otherwise, you know, I spent my childhood with, you know, with people that that rejected me. I've had too many relationships in my life that didn't work for me. You know, I'm too old for this. You know, I want to live happily ever after with the love of my life. I want to live my life my way. This is my life. I only get one chance at it. And if you want to hang out with me, you need to accept who I am 100%. You can't be my friend and just accept this and this, but you don't accept that and that. And then from every time we get together, you're going to argue with me and you're going to criticize me for the things that you don't like. So if your agenda is to try to change me, go someplace else. I require a 100% acceptance for who I am. And so this is an example of radical dating and being true to yourself. Required. And do it for yourself. Oh, my gosh, please. You know, love yourself enough to accept yourself 100% as you are. You are perfect. You are okay as you are. There might be some things that you wish you could change about yourself. There might be some things that you judge, you know, could be better. But, hey, you know, you're on this planet for a reason. You are the way you are. You know, maybe you can change some things. Probably not. So love yourself and accept yourself 100% as you are. You are perfect as you are. When you have that attitude, when you truly love yourself as you are, then you can allow somebody else to love you as you are. If you don't, then you're going to hook up in a relationship with that mirrors that. The interesting thing is, you cannot hide in a relationship. You can be a pretender when you're dating. You can have a persona and put on a show, but you can't keep it up forever when you're in a relationship. Who you really are is going to come out. And who you really are is going to connect with and intersect with who your partner really is. And so that's where the relationship needs to go. Two authentic beings who love and accept themselves 100%, having an authentic relationship with each other, accepting each other 100%. because you can't hide anyway. So, you know, why try? You know, and this includes being honest about your faults or the things that you're not proud of. The very, very cool thing about this is that your authentic self is your best attraction tool. Being who you really are, you know, naked. I don't mean literally naked. I mean figuratively naked. Just putting it out there 100% is your absolute best attraction tool. That will make it easier for your soulmate to find you, will make it much easier for you to determine if it's a good fit, because if you are being absolutely authentic in who you are and it doesn't click with them, then it's not a fit. It's not a match. And you can identify that right away. I've had so many coffee dates, and I call them coffee dates because when you are practicing internet matchmaking or when you're being set up with people and you're looking for somebody and you're single, the first thing that you do and get together for coffee, right? And it's like, you know, maybe 30 minutes, maybe a little longer, and you get to know each other. And what I've discovered is that it only takes one coffee date. You can know within 5 minutes, actually. You don't need a whole 30 minutes, if it's a good fit or not. And I've been on so many of these coffee dates, and the great, 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 great majority of them did not result in a second date. And that was frustrating. On the other hand, it was also very, very effective. Because if it didn't result in a second date, then that meant that I was single and available, and I could continue my journey to find the love of my life. And if it went on for a second date or a third date or a first month or a second month or a first year or a second or third year, and it wasn't a good fit, and I have done this, you're going down a dead end. And you're spending a lot of time and energy in a relationship that is really not a good fit for you. So your authentic self is your best attraction tool. And you notice the graphic up on the screen right now? It's a picture of shoes. Why do I have a picture of shoes on there? Well, there's a story behind that. Those are very special shoes, and they're called Keens. And a lot of people think that Keens are funny looking. Kind of like, you know, years ago, people thought Birkenstocks were funny looking. Well, I love Birkenstocks. I had Birkenstocks. Well, now people think Keens are funny looking. And, you know, there's some people that like Keens, and there's a lot of people that don't like Keens. They wouldn't wear them in a million years because they're funny looking. However, I love Keens. And one of the, it wasn't my primary screening criterion at all. But when I first met Darlene and she was wearing Keens, I had this reaction like, oh, she's so adorable, because certainly she's an adorable woman, but also because she's wearing Keens, that gave me an indication that she's her own person, she's not caring about what other people judge about with her footwear, and that we have that in common. That was very, very cool. So that really, you know, lit me up that she was wearing Keens. And, you know, Darlene has her own story about Keens that I'd love for her to share with you, because she tells it far better than I could. So, Darlene, can you join us and tell your story?
Yeah, I'm actually wanting to tell my story because, you didn't even set this up right. The funny thing about these Keens, well, the very funny thing is this graphic that you used. Look, I'm wearing those exact same shoes right now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you are too. So the Keen story for me really started about probably about a year after my divorce. I got divorced after being married for about 23 years. And that first year, I mean, I certainly wasn't, I hadn't even considered dating or anything. I knew that I really wanted to kind of find myself and really discover what it is, you know, who I really was, because, you know, I wasn't really sure if I watched certain TV shows because I liked them or I just got in that habit with my ex-husband. And so I really wanted to kind of just find myself for that first year. So after a while, I thought, okay, I'm going to start dating. And so I, about that exact same time, I was going to go to Disneyland, and I wanted to find a very comfortable pair of sandals to wear. To, you know, walking around Disneyland, you walk all day, so you need a very comfortable pair of sandals. I was totally attracted to these Keen sandals, but they look just like this picture here, right? They look like they're very clunky and, to me, adorable. So I bought the Keen sandals. I put them on, and I practiced walking around my neighborhood to just see how, if I would be able to walk around Disneyland. And I remember so strongly as I was taking this walk, and I was just about deciding to start dating, I thought, oh my gosh, I am never going to attract a man wearing these shoes. I mean, David's snickering over here because it is really...
That's so funny.
It is. It's a really fun... What the heck? What was I thinking? I really strongly remember thinking, no man is going to want to be with a woman wearing these funky-looking sandals. So I really sat with that for the next... a couple weeks. By the way, I ended up taking those back. They weren't comfortable on my feet. But I sat with that notion for the next couple weeks, and I thought, wait a second. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of men who would just turn around and walk away if they saw me wearing those sandals, but that's what I actually want to have happen. I don't want to attract a man who is going to think that my funky choice of footwear is bad. I don't want to put on a favorite pair of shoes and have them roll their eyes at me. I want to find somebody who loves funky shoes. So it really is important not to, what am I trying to say, David? pull it out of me. It's important not to not be who you are, to try and have other people see you in a way that, yeah.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart. That was, I love it when you tell the story. You tell it way better than I could.
Well, there's one other part to that. Yeah. You know, we were on a internet matchmaking site at that time,
yeah.
And I remember right after figuring out that I wanted to attract somebody who liked the shoes, and I had we had met on the matchmaking internet site. I told you, oh my gosh, I forgot in my profile, I forgot to say I'm not a girly girl. It was really important to me to put that out there so that he knew. That I wanted to make sure that if he was looking for a girly girl, he didn't find me.
And the fact that you wore Keens just really cemented it for me. Although that wasn't my primary screening criterion, but so thank you, sweetheart. Okay, principle number 5: true love requires risk. And you know. If you stay in your comfort zone, you're going to be stuck. You're going to stay stuck. Your life isn't going to change. And success happens when you leave your comfort zone and you go for it. When you think about your comfort zone, what is your comfort zone? Your comfort zone is where you feel comfortable. And there is a zone. The lower part of your zone is your pain threshold. It is the level at which you can't stand any more pain, then, and this is, few people know about this, it is your upper threshold, your upper limit, in which you can't stand any more happiness. And in between those two zones, your pain threshold and your upper limit, is your comfort zone. This is where most people live and stay. It is their goal to stay in their comfort zone. And what I've discovered is that if you want your life to be different, if you want to achieve success and fulfillment in anything, including love, You must leave your comfort zone. Otherwise, you're going to stay stuck. Nothing will change in your life. If it's scary, you are doing it right. Congratulations. And I have a model of decision making that I came across recently. A friend of mine wrote a book, and it's not published yet. It's coming out soon. It's called Yes, Yes, Hell No. And his name is Brian Wetton. And I just love his model. And his idea is that, well, we have our mind, which is our cognition, which is our intelligence. It's where we figure things out intellectually. And then we have our intuition, which is that inner voice inside of us, that, you know, inner feeling and knowing. And then we have our emotions. And the most powerful emotion that we tend to be driven by when it comes to decision-making and living life is fear. And so his model of decision-making is, if your head is saying, yes, yes, this woman is adorable, yes. If your intuition, your inner knowing, your inner voice is saying, yes, I really want to do this, yes, I really want to go for it, but then you have fear coming up, and your fear is saying, hell no, well, that's a signal that you should probably feel the fear and do it anyway. If your head and your heart, if your intellect and your intuition are lining up and saying, yes, this is good for you, and don't let your fear hold you back. However, if your head is coming up with all sorts of red flags, oh, don't do it because of this and this and this, and if your inner voice is saying, well, there's a lot of reasons on paper to do this, but, you know, no, I'm not feeling it. I don't really want to do this, you know, then whether or not you feel fear is irrelevant. You need to follow your head. You need to follow your intuition. But if your head and your intuition are lined up, then go for it. So I love this decision-making model, and I wanted to share it with you today because a lot of singles get confused. Should I or shouldn't I? I'm so excited about this relationship, but I'm afraid. And so follow your heart, follow your head, but don't follow your fears. That's the best advice I have for you there. So the cool thing about relationships is that intimacy is scary and it's exciting. Real intimacy. Now, a lot of couples are not intimate. You know, you go to any restaurant, you'll see a bunch of couples sitting at tables, and they will not even be acknowledging each other. They'll be looking around. They'll be looking at their phones. They'll be focusing on their meal. They won't even be talking. They won't be holding hands. They won't even acknowledge each other's existence. And to me, that's scary, that couples can be that disconnected. Real intimacy means that you are connected with your partner, you are talking with your partner, you are close with your partner, you are sharing your inner secrets, your deepest desires and fantasies, your deepest thoughts and feelings and needs and wants and requirements and issues and everything else. You are not holding anything back. And to have that level of intimacy is scary. To say things that you're embarrassed about or you're ashamed of or that you're afraid that you might be judged for, it's scary. But if you are with the love of your life, somebody that you trust, somebody that accepts you and loves you for who you are, then you need to go for it. And that is what makes relationships intimate and exciting. And if you are bored in a relationship, it just means that you're not intimate enough, because real intimacy is scary and exciting. They're two sides of the same coin. So those are the five principles of radical dating. And in my mind, radical dating is the most effective path to radical marriage. So Darlene and I wrote this book, Radical Marriage, and it's based on my professional work over the past 30 years. It's also based on our own relationship, things that I've learned in our relationship. I could absolutely have not written this book by myself. You know, no way. And it is, it's really a very cool thing that through our relationship, you know, we both have been able to discover what radical marriage is and be able to describe it and share, you know, what it is and how to do it, you know, with other couples. So very, very excited for the book to come out. It's going to be out shortly. And radical dating, what we're talking about today, is the best and fastest, easiest path to radical marriage. Now, you can have a radical marriage without practicing radical dating, you know, by all means. But if you are single and you are starting out with the goal of radical marriage, then my recommendation is to practice radical dating. So what does that look like? What do you do? So let's get into that. Strategies of radical dating. What do? You need to get into action. You know, being on your couch watching TV with your cat in your lap is not how it's going to happen. You need to get into action. So what do to get into action? First, there is scouting. This is the conscious dating principle of scouting, which is the process of finding somebody to meet. And Darlene and I met online using one of the major internet matchmaking companies, and the same internet matchmaking companies I use for over, in the past, you know, all of my single years, I estimate over 200 coffee dates. It took me over 200 coffee dates to find Darlene. And some of them were pleasant encounters, and some of them were a waste of time. Some of them I was quite frustrated at the end of it. I experienced discouragement in being single many, many times. But now I look back on it, and that was my journey to find Darlene, and it was, you know, I'm grateful for it. Scouting is the process of finding somebody to meet. There are many, many ways to do that. And, you know, the internet, and there's apps nowadays, and there's, you know, work, and there's friends introducing you. But you need to get into action and actually scout. Singles do it anyway. You know, we're at the grocery store, and we check out, you know, the attractive, you know, singles in the checkout line. You know, we check each other out anyway. But we need to practice radical dating and get into action, be very clear about who we are and what we want, and to go and seek it out and use our electromagnet and the strategies of conscious dating of how to become that clear, you know, your vision and your purpose and your requirements and needs and your wants. You know, that is the key. And if you're not clear about that, then please do get the book Conscious Dating. Please do talk to a conscious dating coach. And then there is sorting. An example of sorting is the coffee date. It is when you meet somebody and you are able to quickly determine, because you're so clear, whether this person is a good fit for you or not. Now, do you know everything about them? No. You don't need to. You are using your head. You're using your intuition. And you're going to listen to your intuition. There are so many coffee dates that I've been on that I came away thinking, okay, this is a very nice lady, a very attractive lady. But I had no chemistry. I had no interest. I didn't want to see them, you know, for a second date. I didn't want to pursue the possibility of a relationship. Did I understand why? Not really. But that's what sorting is. You allow your intuition and your head to do the sorting for you, and it's important to listen to yourself. And then the next step, if they pass your sorting, is screening. So screening is the process of learning enough about somebody to determine if your requirements would be met. And so this is where, you know, the coffee date turns into a walk through the park or, you know, going to a movie. You know, it's a second date, and you are learning more about them. Your goal is to collect enough information to know if your requirements would be met and also to allow your head and your intuition to collect more data. And if they pass your screening and, you know, you want to see them again, remember, listen to your intuition. Do you want to? Then the next step is testing. And testing is where you are going to continue to see them a bit more. You are going to want to test them a bit, and especially around your requirements. So there's many ways to test. There's no one right way. This is where it's kind of fun. You can get creative. And so, for example, when I was single and I was dating, I have twin boys. They were pretty young at the time. And one of my sorting strategies, by the way, I just love sharing with somebody I first met. I have young twin boys. They're 3 years old. They're 4 years old. And I just would watch the reaction I would get when I shared that. Some women, when I shared that, would have such a positive, strong reaction, say, oh, twin boys, oh, how fun, you're so lucky. And other women I shared that with would say, oh, twin boys, well, do you ever get time for yourself? And those women that had that reaction seemed like, you know, children were something that got in the way. And so that was a very easy litmus test for me. It's a very easy sorting technique for me to figure out who had a possibility or not. Because if you want to hang out with me and I have young twin boys, you better love kids. And then testing. So how could I test if somebody loves kids or not, or they're comfortable around kids or not? Well, maybe we can have a picnic lunch in a park by the playground. And I can see them in action around real kids, you know, screaming and yelling and being kids. You know, as a dad, you know, I'm very comfortable around, you know, crying children. Oh, their diaper must need to be changing. Oh, this one fell and scraped his knee. You know, to me, it's normal everyday stuff. To people that are not kid people, who are not parents, you know, they get annoyed by screaming or yelling or crying kids. You know, and so that's just one of my requirements and just one way that I screened, that I sorted and I tested for it. So those are some examples. So I call that scouting, sorting, screening, and testing. Those are the four steps for conscious dating. And now for radical dating. Remember, radical dating is conscious dating on steroids. It's, you know, practicing conscious dating to find the love of your life to have a radical marriage with. It's very, very, very focused. Here is one of my favorite strategies for radical dating. And it's the concept of screening in versus screening out. Screening in is when you give everybody a chance, when you find a reason why a relationship might work. And if you get together for a first date and it didn't go so well, you say, oh, well, you know, maybe they were having a bad day, or, you know, maybe something didn't click. You know, I'll give it another try. You know, you're finding a reason why a relationship might work, whether it's because you want to be nice or you're afraid of being alone or whatever reason. This is just too, too common. Screening out is the opposite. Screening out is way more effective. Screening out is finding any reason why a relationship might not work. So when you are scouting and sorting and screening and testing, you are looking for a reason why a relationship might not work. And if you find one, you say, thank you very much, nice to meet you, have a nice life, and you move on. It's very, very important that you have the ability to say no to what you don't want so that you can be single and available to seek out what it is you do want. You must be able to screen out. So all those 200 coffee dates, I screened out pretty quickly and pretty effectively. I went on very few second dates. I didn't want to waste my time. And I would recommend that you do this too. Now, a lot of singles I've heard object to this strategy because they're afraid that they would be, rejecting somebody that's a good fit for them. Well, maybe, but I don't think so. Because remember Brian Wetton's concept of your head and your intuition. When they are in sync, when they are working together, that is your truth. So if some part of you is saying, not really, nope, don't want to, then listen to that. There's a good reason for that. You don't even need to understand what the reason is. When I first met Darlene, I had the experience that I had an experience I've never had. You know, I've been married and divorced twice. I've been single, and I've dated around and went on those 200 coffee dates. When I had Darlene, I had the experience of that was so strong. It was visceral. It was physical. It hit me like a tidal wave. It was so strong and so positive. It was scary. And it was hard to trust it. And, you know, I ended up calling my own relationship coaches and mentors saying, hey, I met somebody, and I'm thinking I'm falling in love, and I'm scared to death here. And I remember I called one mentor and said, and I can't find any red flags, and there's always red flags. And why am I not finding any red flags? And, you know, I'm not trusting myself. And she calmed me down, and she said, David, stop looking for red flags. If they're there, they're there. Stop looking for them. You know, don't be afraid that they're not there. So with Darlene, it was just so strong, it was scary, and there were no red flags. And, you know, red flags by themselves aren't you know, a deal breakers. They aren't the end of the line. They're sort of, you know, reasons to, you know, be careful. But screening out means that if your head is saying no for some reason, or your intuition is saying no for some reason, then go ahead and say no. Walk away. Don't screen in. Don't try to find a reason why it might work. Don't give them second and third and fourth chances. So the other strategy of radical dating I would like to share with you is that you can achieve anything with the right support. It is really hard to be successful alone. And when you think about it, you can climb high mountains, you can build buildings, you can fly, you can accomplish anything you wanted to accomplish with the right support. Well, if finding the love of your life is important to you and you're struggling with it or it's not happening, then get support. There's no reason for you to do it alone. There's no need for you to struggle. And, you know, please don't tell yourself, well, it's too late for me, or all the good ones are taken, or I've heard women say, oh, you know, all the men my age want younger women. You know, we talk ourselves out of happiness and finding, you know, true love. Don't talk yourself out of it. Get the support you need to find the love of your life if you're struggling with that. So, I have a thought for you. This is one of my favorite ones. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going and how you'll get there. So it doesn't matter where you've been. In my case, you know, divorced twice, unhappy childhood, parents divorced, had no models for what a good relationship or marriage or family looked like. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going, you know, where you want to go, what your destiny is, what you feel drawn to and called for, and how you'll get there. It's not too late. You're not too old. It's not that there's more men than women or women than men or you know, all the good ones are taken or whatever it is you're telling yourself. What matters is where you're going and how you'll get there. And we covered some of those principles and strategies today. And I really, really do hope that you'll take them to heart. I really highly recommend that if you haven't read the book yet, please do get it, Conscious Dating. And you can check it out at consciousdating.com or, you know, Amazon. And if you would like some support, go to consciousdatingcoach.com. And contact one of our coaches, trained by Relationship Coaching Institute. And many of them are happy to provide a free consultation. They will meet with you, no charge, to get to know you, talk about what your goals are, your situation. They want to help. They really, really do. This is their calling. This is their life purpose. They're passionate about relationships. They're passionate about helping their clients live the life they love with the love of their life. So go ahead and go to consciousdatingcoach.com and you know, contact one. Just read their profiles and see what seems to be a good fit for you. And you know, many of them on their website, they have an invitation for, you know, a free consultation or a strategy session. You know, don't go alone if you don't need to. If this is important to you, it's worth reaching out and getting the support you need. And if you like the idea of helping others with their relationships, then you can be a relationship coach. You can be a conscious dating coach. You can be a radical dating coach. You can be a radical marriage coach or just a plain old relationship coach. You can join Relationship Coaching Institute. We have a free Relationship Coach Starter Kit. go to relationshipcoachinginstitute.com and download that. And this is what we do. This is what we're passionate about. And thank you very much for joining us today and sharing us, sharing our passion with us. So let's go ahead and see what kind of questions came in. So let's see. Jan is asking, David, on those first coffee dates, was there ever a time where you would go on a second date that you didn't necessarily feel that spark, or you were kind of, eh? And, you know, she's seen dating coaches recommend not making snap decisions. Well, I'm actually the opposite. Go ahead and make that snap decision. I've learned to trust myself, and Brian Wetton explained it so wonderfully that, you know, your intuition is wise, your inner knowing is working for you, your mind and your intellect, your cognition is working for you as well, and as a combination, they work together very, very well. So listen to yourself. If the fit is there, you'll feel it, you'll know it. I had the experience with Darlene that was so unambiguous, and the problem that I've seen over and over again with singles is that it just seems so ambiguous. It seems so opaque. It's like, well, you know, is this a good idea, a bad idea? Is this a fit? Is it not a fit? I'm not quite so sure. Well, I have a theory. I have a practice, and I've done this in my own life, and this is what I recommend. You know, of course, you don't have to do it. You're free to disagree. But my practice is, if it's not a strong yes, it's a no. And that's part of screening out. If it's not a strong yes, it's a no. If you can't find a strong reason for yes, then it's a no. So, Jan, that's my best answer, regardless of what those other relationship coaches are saying. And I have one comment. Brian's book is awesome. I read an advanced copy. It's still not available yet. I wonder when it's going to be available. Okay. Susie is asking, do you consider chronic illness a not ready criterion? You know, like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. This is a really good question, Susie. Thank you. You know, we have chronic conditions, and they can impact our relationships. And, you know, Lyme disease, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, you know, there's lots and lots of health conditions that could impact a relationship. And they could also be reasons for no, right? You can tell yourself, oh, well, a relationship is not for me because I have fibromyalgia. Well, guess what? That's just another reason for no. You're making that up. That's a story. And the truth is that at the same time that you are seeking the love of your life is seeking you, and your fibromyalgia will not matter. So, yes, you could make an argument that, let's say you have cancer and you are in the middle of chemotherapy and you feel miserable and this is the hardest time in your life. It's probably not the right time to start dating. Probably not the right time to meet somebody that could be the love of your life. But if you are in a stable situation, you have chronic illness, chronic pain, you know, this is your life. This is the new normal for you. Then there's nothing holding you back from living your life to the fullest, except yourself. So, Susie, that's my best answer. Thank you very, very much for the question. Let's see. Yes, this program's recorded. We record everything. Anne-Marie is asking, how do I know whether a man is marriage material? What a great question. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Well, you know, at the same time that you need to be ready and available for commitment and you need to ask yourself, you know, what could get in the way? In what ways am I not ready? You know, what could possibly sabotage a relationship? You need to be looking for and asking your potential partner about that. And please don't be afraid to be upfront. You know, too many people are afraid of offending or they're afraid of driving somebody away by being honest. Be absolutely honest. You say, you know, I just got to be honest with you about something. You know, my goal is to get married. I want to be married. In fact, I just don't want to be married. I want a radical marriage. And hey, here's a book, and you know, this is what it looks like. And you know, if this is, you know, what you're interested in too, then maybe we can go out on a second date or third date or see each other again. And if not, please do both of us a favor and tell me now. You know, remember, your authenticity, being honest, is your best screening device. It's the best, you know, way to help the law of attraction find the love of your life. So if it's your truth, then be absolutely honest about it. The best way to know whether a man is marriage material is to talk about it. And the ones that are comfortable talking about the commitment, the ones that look longingly and say, oh, I would just love to grow old with, you know, my soulmate. Okay, you know, they're marriage material. The ones that hem and haw and say, well, you know, I'm not so sure. Oh, well, you know, nothing lasts forever. You know, well, maybe not. So pay attention, because people will usually tell on themselves. They usually tell the truth right out front. In fact, I can tell you 100% of the red flags in any relationship I've ever had, they were always apparent from the very beginning when I met that person. I just didn't pay attention to them. Why? Because I felt I didn't really deserve to be loved. Why? Because I didn't want to be alone for the rest of my life. And I figured, well, you know, if it wasn't this person, then I wouldn't find anybody. You know, I really talked myself into relationships big time. I don't want you to do that. So that's my best answer, Anne-Marie. Thank you very, very much for the question. Let's see, what else we got here? Gail, she's 60, divorced a couple of years, and, you know, met a guy, and they had a fun one-hour phone call and then a great three-hour meeting, and then she had to go on a three-week vacation, and he said that he likes to take things slow, so no problem, and she never heard from him again. So they had a lot of fun, then she went on a three-week vacation, she came back, and never heard from him again. So now she's wondering, well, you know, what happened? Is this typical? Is he not interested? You know, well, you know, Gail, there's something called reality. And this is something that we all need to pay attention to. Pay attention to reality. So if the reality is that he's not returning your calls or emails or your text, then pay attention to that. That's a very, very strong, clear message. And, you know, don't wonder why. It's just the reality. We don't need to figure it out or explain it or justify it. We need to pay attention to reality. So he is showing you his reality. So, Gail, time to move on. Ann Rose is asking, I'm an elderly widow in my late 60s, been widowed for 6 years. And in all the talks, there's always mentions of singles or divorced persons. And she's wondering, you know, what about widows? Ann Rose, when I say the word singles, I mean people who are not in a relationship that want a relationship. And there's many singles that don't want a relationship, and I call them single by choice. And I have a great program about singles that are single by choice on my website at relationshipcoachinginstitute.com. You click on blog and find the program on single by choice. So there, in my mind, there's two kinds of singles. There's maybe three. There are the singles that want a relationship. There's the singles that are not quite ready for a relationship but want a relationship. And then there's singles that don't want a relationship. And singles include divorced and when widowed. And I do get that you feel different because you're widowed, and you'd like to hear the word that, you know, this applies to singles and divorced and widowed. In my mind, it's you know, it's either you want a relationship or you don't want a relationship. You know, that's what's important. So in terms of my own semantics. So Ann Rose is also asking, I would like some ideas to find a lasting relationship without comparing all men to my late husband. And this is not just true to widows and widowers about your late husband or wife. This is also true about comparing, you know, future partners to your ex or to your first love or to your father or to your mother. The comparing thing, you know, happens a lot. And you know what? Go for it. I don't see anything wrong with it, you know, unless you are being unrealistic or you are using it to hide behind. In other words, you're avoiding intimacy by finding a reason to say no because, oop, they don't line up. They're not as good as my father because of this, so there's no deal. But if so, there's the kind of thing that you might use to hide behind or sabotage yourself, and then there is what I call your experience. Your experience just happens, Anne Marie is somebody else. So your experience just happens. It's the thoughts that just pop in your head. It's the emotions that you feel that come up all by themselves. It's the bodily sensations that happen that you can't control. Your experience just happens. So if you find yourself comparing somebody to your late husband or your ex or your mother or your father, you know, that's involuntary. Okay, now you have a choice about what to do with it. Okay, but if it happens, it's okay. You know, your experience is always valid. It is okay. You don't have to judge it. You don't have to try to control it or change it. It is okay. Now, what you do with it is up to you. And so this is where being conscious comes in. If you are not conscious, you're just going to follow whatever the impulse comes up. And if you are conscious, then you can make a conscious choice. So that's really the most important thing, is just to be aware that you're doing it and to not let that dictate your choices. So as long as you're not letting it dictate your choices, Anne Rose, that's fine. Go ahead and compare all men to your late husband. Nothing wrong with that. We all do it in some way. We compare this person we're meeting to our ex or our mother or our father or our brother or, you know, the last person we dated. If it's just automatic, we can't help it. So great, great questions, guys. Thank you so much. Let's see. Jan, you're asking one of my favorite questions. Do you recommend being radically honest in your profile for online dating? I absolutely do. Remember, you are looking for the one. You're not trying to, you know, screen in and just, this is not a marketing thing where you're just trying to reach everybody possible and get them interested in you. You are trying to find the one. And so make your profile so specific that you will exclude 99% of the population. You know, don't waste your time. And that is how you can get the law of attraction to help you find the one. So, and she's also mentioning so many coaches recommend, you know, not leading with being clear about wanting commitment, fidelity, marriage, and children up front. Jan, if that's your requirement, if that's important to you, lead that right up front. You know, want children? Want to be married? I'm your gal. This is like, you know, you want to find men that are aligned with who you are and what you want. You don't want to waste your time with anybody that isn't. And no man of any quality is going to be turned off by you being clear about wanting marriage and children. And the ones that are not mature enough or ready for it or want it, they will run away screaming and let them. You know, I love Darlene's attitude about, you know, any man that doesn't like my keens, you know, can go, you know, go wherever he wants to go. And, you know, that made her way more attractive. And she found a man that loves Keynes, who thinks she's adorable in Keynes. So, you know, please, Jan, be radically honest in your profile. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And let's see. We got some very nice complimentary comments. Thank you very much. I'm not seeing any more questions. So, okay, guys, that's everything I have for tonight. Thank you for joining us for Radical Dating, 5 Principles for Finding Love That Will Rock Your World. This is a great segue to Radical Marriage. The book is about to come out, and we're looking forward to it. And I wish you to be able to live the life you love with the love of your life. So, bye for now.